これ知ってる？
これ何？
これはね、ゼータガンダムに登場するマラサイというモビルスーツの CG アニメなんだよ。
へえ、そうなんだ。
Greetings, and welcome to another exciting episode of Pretentious Internet Theater. A show so elite that when NASA scientists found out about it, they immediately became distraught because it couldn't represent sounds of Earth that were put on the Voyager Golden Record in 1977, and out of their depression, they cancelled the entire space program. I am your host, Andrew Cook. We are one step closer to the live panel at the Big Show MegaCon, and they put Pretentious Internet Theater immediately following the anime music video competition in the main events room. That's right. So on Sunday, March the 14th, at the Orange County Convention Center, Hall D, room 224 in the main events area, Pretentious Internet Theater cordially invites you to be part of the program. That's right. I've decided to give my elite listeners another opportunity to take part in the showcase of the immortals. But tonight is a different story entirely. As you know, it is time to celebrate a holiday coming on February the 14th. Chinese New Year. That's right, we've entered into the year of a tiger. And in fact, that reminds me of a quote by the English author Siegfried Sassoon, "In me the tiger sniffs the rose." Let's get on with our story, shall we? Pretentious Internet Theater proudly presents Wu Fei's Chinese New Year by Princess Priscilla Maxwell. Part 1. "Hey, Wolfie, what year is it?" inquired Duo on one fine sunny afternoon. "What kind of stupid question is that?" replied the annoyed, raven-haired boy who was currently sitting comfortably in a deck chair. "The New Year party that you decided to hold happened last week, and my name is Wu Fei!" Duo scurried over to the deck chair and squatted next to it. "No, Wolfie, I'm serious. What year is it? The year of the sheep, or rat, or cat, or hippo?" "There is no such thing as the year of the cat or hippo, and my name is Wu Fei!" Duo quickly covered his ears and pouted. "Geez, I'm sorry. I only wanted to know." "If you wanted to know, you should have asked properly instead of dishonoring my Chinese background and my name," snapped Wu Fei. Duo nodded and waited for the enraged boy to continue. "Right now it's the year of the sheep, and on January the 22nd will be the year of the monkey. Does that answer your question?" "Ah, so your new year starts on the 22nd. So how do you celebrate the new year?" Wu Fei looked at Duo with suspicion. "Why is he suddenly so curious about what my customs?" he thought. "The Chinese clean their house very thoroughly. They also go out and buy signs that say Gong Hei Fa Choi in Chinese and hang them in the house. Of course, there are many other sayings that you can buy and hang. Doors and windows are decorated with paper cutouts," explained Wu Fei, who was now happily remembering his past. "They wear new clothes, buy gifts for each other. There's even a platter of special candy that they eat during the time leading up to the special day." Sounds interesting and delicious," said Duo as he wrote down a few notes onto the palm of his hand. "Anything else that they do?" "Yes," said Wu Fei dreamily. "On the day itself, the adults give children money in small red packets, and they go around and say special greetings, like, 'Let bygones be bygones.' The Chinese do not hold grudges, or if they do, their grudges might be cast away on that day." "Sounds great," said Duo happily as he stood up, ready to leave. "Oh, and by the way, you and the guys have a mission," Wu Fei growled. Duo always had to ruin a good moment. 2 days later, four exhausted boys were making their way back to Quatre's mansion, each of them looking forward to a different way of relaxing after their tiring battle. They were extremely surprised when they found a large red piñata hanging just above the door. Attached to the piñata was a cord and a tab with the words, "Pull me." Wu Fei blinked. "Is this another of Duo's tricks?" he asked. Troa brushed the cord aside and tried to open the door. "Locked," he said. Hero pulled out his gun. He was about to shoot the lock when Quatre cried out, "No, Hero, you can't shoot it! adores an antique from the Victorian times. It's irreplaceable. Here, let me.
Quattro walked forward and pressed the speaker button. Duo, it's us. Would you please let us in?
There was a short silence before Duo's voice was heard.
Sorry, but no entry unless you pull the cord.
Hero gave an exasperated sigh. Duo, just let us in. Duo! Duo, are you listening? Duo! I think he's cut the connection, said Troa quietly. Looks like someone will have to pull the cord. Quattro gave the situation some consideration. Duo never meant any harm in the pranks that he had played in the past. If there were any injuries, it was often because of things that were outside of his control. With this in mind, he took hold of the cord and pulled.
Gung Hai Fat Choi!
Boomed Duo's voice out of a speaker, and large amounts of red confetti made its way towards the ground. Wu Fei spat out a piece of red crepe paper. Bleh! What terrible Chinese, he said in disgust. Such a heavy American accent. Troa shook his head violently to get rid of the confetti. Who cares about that? At least now we can get in and have a hot shower. I'm gonna kill Maxwell for this. Wu Fei continued his rant as he opened the door and froze at the sight before him. What the? Cutouts of angels made from red paper were strung all across the ceiling, and more red crepe paper decorated the walls and openings to the door. Chinese greetings were also stuck to the walls, and the floor was littered with red bits of paper.
Song Lung Fai Luk!
The Gundam pilot shifted their gaze, following the noise to find Duo sliding down the banister, the giant stuffed monkey in his arms. This is for you, Wu Fei. Hope you had a great Chinese New Year, he said as he thrust the giant stuffed toy into Wu Fei's arms. Wu Fei said softly, and burst into tears. Aw, it's nothing, Wu Fei. You don't have to thank me or anything. I mean, it's one of those customs you used to celebrate, right? Don't get all teary-eyed at me. I'm sorry if you don't like it. I'm really sorry. I'll clean it up now. No, I love it. You don't know how much this means to me, and thank you very much for getting my name right. Absolutely no problems there, Duo winked and suddenly caught sight of a certain perfect soldier who was glaring at him. What, Hero? Do the Japanese have a special day that you want me to help you celebrate? Hero stayed quiet for a moment before speaking. Duo, how come Wu Fei gets a special monkey and I don't? Does that mean that you... Duo grinned mischievously. Of course not, he said as he scooped up the jealous boy and made for their room. You get a real-life monkey to play with tonight. Oh, Hero said with a hint of surprise. Oh. The end. Well, that was certainly an interesting conclusion to that particular story. You know, it reminds me, there's another holiday on February the 14th, of course, being Valentine's Day. So why not allow yourself to become enamored with some of the most romantic internet fan fiction I was able to find for you? Perhaps squeeze your significant other close. If you don't have anyone special in your life, then have this serve as your romantic radiation therapy. Enjoy.
Pretentious Internet Theater proudly presents MacGyver by Trina. Author's note. This is a response to Catholic Girls' Valentine's Day Challenge. February 14th, 2003.
Happy Valentine's, dear.
I am not happy.
Audrey snapped and then continued to eat the massive box of chocolates rather determinedly.
I'm miserable, I'm fat, I want a divorce, or at least I want to kick someone. And I want to eat and eat and eat.
She sniffed and grabbed another chocolate.
What was it like in the burrows?
Chaotic. Percy almost asked, but get some chocolate too, but then decided against it. Audrey had lately become so possessive of her food.
Mum was really disappointed you didn't come.
Really?
Audrey's tone softened. That was sweet of her. You didn't say anything about this, though.
Percy shook his head.
We agreed to keep it quiet for a while.
I can keep secrets, you know.
Audrey flashed a smile and leaned against him. Is George there, too?
He had been expecting that question. Audrey always had a soft spot for George. He thought of his little brother, who had said next to nothing during the whole time he'd been lunch, in a way. His answer didn't make Audrey any happier.
She bit her lip. How was he? Ever since Lee left, it's been so weird. Like a lost puppy.
Percy sighed and ruffled her hair.
I know. I'm worried about him.
Of course it was understandable. Lee had wanted that job. Really could have chosen a better time for leaving the country.
to Australia, all possible places, made Percy sick to see his brother look so lonely and forgotten. I am too. Audrey picked another chocolate from the box, hesitated for a second, and then put it to her mouth, looking very guilty. You shouldn't be so alone right now. We could ask him to dinner tomorrow, or the day after that. What do you say? Why not today? Percy asked, even though he knew the answer. His wife didn't even bother to answer. The box was by now almost empty. And that seemed to worry her as much as George's state of mind. He grinned. We need to make the last Valentine's Day before the B-A-B-Y perfect? Audrey pretended to swat at him. This is our last Valentine's Day with just the two of us. Enjoy. Next year, this time, this little MacGyver here, she patted her stomach lightly, will be running around, you know, screaming and probably breaking things too. Percy was quite sure their baby wouldn't be old enough to run around by next Valentine's Day, but he was about to point out something that made him stop and blink. MacGyver? She nodded. Yes, I think that would be the most wonderful name, don't you? Just think about it. MacGyver Weasley. It sounds so royal. And if it's a girl, we can always call her Mary. He stared at her incredulously. Seriously? Audrey looked at him over the chocolate box. Yes, Pierce, seriously. Usually. Percy knew when Audrey was making a joke, but this time he wasn't sure. Really? She rolled her eyes. Yes, really. Now, let me kiss you. I have eaten chocolate all morning, so I'm probably very sticky, but a man has his duties. Oh, I won't mind. Good. After a minute or two, Percy straightened his glasses. Just one thing. What is this MacGyver thing? I don't get it. Oh, darling. The end.
And now moving onward to our last story. Coming up in the next few episodes, we got some doozies for you. But I can't do it all alone, and it is thanks to the people who emailed me at pretentiousinternettheater@gmail.com who were able to help me. You leech soldiers, I know I will see you at our panel at MegaCon. For now, enjoy this next romantic tale. Pretentious Internet Theater proudly presents Valentine's Day Surprise by Chrissy DeCougar. Silver the Hedgehog paced nervously. He wasn't one to usually panic, but in this situation, yeah, it was panic time. What in the world am I going to do? He muttered. His gray fur was becoming more and more damp by the minute. Suddenly, he stopped himself, taking in a deep breath. Okay, let's take this one step at a time, Silver, he told himself. He closed his yellow eyes. It's Valentine's Day. The first Valentine's Day I'm going to be spending with her. His voice trailed off as panic gripped him again. I don't even have a gift for her. Silver's hands flew to his head as he groaned. For who? The gray hedgehog nearly jumped out of his fur when he heard the voice. It wasn't the voice himself that surprised him. It was the fact that he knew the bearer of the voice. It was the exact person who he didn't have a gift for. Blaze, he turned around, trying to act casual. The violet cat stood there. At the entrance of the small cave he was in, she didn't give him a chance to say anything more, and she inquired. What are you doing at this place, Silver? He tried to think of an excuse. Trying to find you. Blaze didn't buy it. She walked towards him in a confident yet casual manner. Trying to find me, she repeated. You know I don't like crowded areas. Silver felt a sweat drop, but he kept it hidden. I was thinking you might surprise me. Blaze turned around to look him in the eye. Gold meant gold, she said. I guess I can give you that one. Silver felt relieved, but watched to see what the feline would do next. She simply started walking again, this time around him. Her eyes were fixed on the walls of the cavern as she said, But still, you know what today is? Suddenly, she stopped and turned to face him. Don't you? Silver was caught off guard, took a step back. Of course I do. Blaze turned away, her arms crossed over her chest. It's Valentine's Day, she muttered. My least favorite day of the whole year. This caught Silver even more off guard. He couldn't believe what he just heard. You don't like Valentine's Day, he repeated. That's an understatement, she said, her back still standing firm. I hate Valentine's Day. Silence filled the cave. Finally, Silver asked, Why? Blaze shook her head, closing her eyes. You're still so naive. The gray hedgehog
fervor at his eyebrows. When the violent cat heard that her friend was saying nothing, she finally informed. Valentine's Day was... that day. At that, she raised her gloved hand to produce a flame above it. Silver understood. That was the day people began teasing you, and teasing me ever since, Blaze hissed, vanquishing the flames as she closed her hand. Every year they would send me gifts, and taunting me about my flames. It was as if Valentine's Day had changed into a day of torture. Silence. Blaze closed her eyes, not allowing her rapidly beating heart to get the best of her. To speak the truth, she was nervous. Silver was the only one who hadn't teased her about her flames, and now, with this new Valentine's Day, were things going to change? She felt a hand on her shoulder and turned to see the gray hedgehog there. As their eyes met, her heart skipped a beat. For whatever reason she couldn't tell, those beautiful yellow eyes always made her nerves go crazy. She kept it hidden very well, though, like she always had. Well, let's make this Valentine's Day one you'll remember. With that, he took her hand and led her out of the cave and into the city at a running pace. Silver, where are we going? Blaze called. Silver hesitated, but finally said, I don't know. The cat felt uneasy. Silver sensed her fear and looked behind him. He looked comfortingly, a trick he'd seen Sonic use whenever he had seen that blue hedgehog. It worked. Blaze seemed relaxed, allowed him to take her wherever he wished. The only thing was, where did he wish to go? Silver's eyes scanned the city. All the buildings looked nothing like it had before. Not like it had when Izbiz was still in existence. When Silver had returned to his time, he found Blaze was alive and well. In fact, everything looked like Iblis and Mephiles never were. But right now, he wanted to find a place that was quiet and romantic. Wait a minute, Silver shook his head. Romantic? What am I thinking? I don't like Blaze any more than a friend. Do I? It was these exact thoughts that distracted our favorite gray hedgehog as he ran around aimlessly. Meanwhile, Blaze was beginning to get tired from all the jogging. She began to pant heavily. Kept her comments to herself at least for a while. Finally, she yelled, Silver! The hedgehog's head snapped off. What? Are we going to stop? You're wearing me out. Silver's sweat dropped and slowed down. Once they came to a halt, Blaze leaned over to put her hands on her knees and regain her breath. Sorry, Blaze, I got distracted, he apologized. The cat straightened himself, still taking deep breaths. You are so naive. Silver sighed irritably. He opened his mouth to say a retort, but Blaze quickly put her index finger over it. Silver furrowed his eyebrows and was about to talk again when his friend whispered, Look. The gray hedgehog slowly turned around and soon found himself gaping in awe. There, not too far in front of them, was a chow garden full of lush green grass. The spring was in the middle of it, and the palm trees full of chow fruit decorated the interior. It was a peaceful, romantic place. Silver looked around them, trying to figure out where he'd led them to. When he looked behind him, he found the city standing high and tall, oblique to them. He turned back to see that the chow garden they were in was in a valley between two mountains. His ear twitched when he heard Blaze call, Silver, come here. The gray hedgehog turned, ran towards his friend, who was standing on the back of the spring. We came to a halt behind her. She merely pointed at many chow playing in the water. Silver couldn't help but smile. Their faces were filled with pure joy as they splashed around and shouted, Chow, chow, every once in a while. Look at them, Silver, Blaze murmured. The gray hedgehog turned to his friend, confused. In return, the cat turned towards him. Don't they look like some people we know? This was evident she was trying not to smile. Silver looked back, and he noticed what she was talking about. There in the water was a Tails Chow splashing around with a Cream Chow, and Amy Chow was trying to pull a Sonic Chow in without too much success, and a Knuckles Chow was having a water fight with the Ruse Chow. Shadow Chow was sitting in the bank, while a Tikal Chow sat next to him, trying to start a conversation. The gray hedgehog nodded, letting out a short laugh. They act like them, too. Blaze smiled, but wondered if there was a Silver Chow and a Chow of her. Suddenly, she heard a riot of angry chow calls to her left, and as she turned, she got her answer. A bunch of hero and dark chows were crowding around a small Blaze chow, yelling at it and laughing. The chow was crying and shaking in response. A bunch of flashbacks ripped through Blaze's mind. She reached her hand to her forehead to soothe the pictures that were attacking her. Her eyes reopened,
and she looked back at poor Blaze Chow being taunted. She knew how the Chow felt. But just as she was about to step in, a little gray Chow stood in front of the Blaze Chow. It was a silver Chow. Chow, 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 Chow! The little one shouted. Chow! One of the dark Chow yelled back. Chow, Chow, Chow! The silver Chow responded. Chow, Chow! And one by one, the hero Chow began to walk away, ashamed. The dark Chow, seeing their comrades leave, began to go as well until finally the crowd had dissipated. The silver Chow turned to the Chow behind him and asked, Chow, Chow, Chow? The Blaze Chow didn't verbally respond. Instead, she leaped up and hugged the silver Chow, still crying. Blaze let her arms fall to her side as she stared at the two Chow. How they had reminded her of when Silver had stood up for her. She looked behind her to see this gray hedgehog holding a Chow fruit and yelling at the hero Chow below him. What do you mean you don't want this one? He exclaimed. He sighed as the Chow pointed another fruit up in the palm tree. Fine, he raised his hand, and used telekinesis to pluck the Chow fruit off. He made it float down to the hero Chow, but the Chow simply stuck up its nose. Chow, Chow, yelled. Which one do you want? He shouted. Make up your mind. The Chow glared at him and stuck his arm arrogantly at another fruit in the tree. Silver growled. Blaze then turned back to see that the two Chow were sitting at the bank now, talking to each other. She watched as they exchanged Chows, until suddenly the Blaze Chow kissed the silver Chow on the cheek. The gray hedgehog Chow blushed. His feet was kicking the water slightly. Blaze smiled and turned back to the real hedgehog behind her, who finally was able to give the hero Chow the fruit it wanted. Silver then walked to a fallen tree log and plopped down. Sighing, Blaze sat down beside him. Some of the most stubborn little things, aren't they? She asked. Silver nodded. You have no idea. Silence lasted between the two until Blaze said, I like this place. Silver looked at the violet cat beside him. Really? She nodded. It's peaceful and so full of joy. Just like how Valentine's Day should be, Silver informed. Blaze looked at the gray hedgehog. What are you saying? Actually, it was something I said. I told you this Valentine's Day should be one you'll remember. Silver hedgehog looked deep into her eyes. You will remember it, won't you? Well, Blaze broke the gaze. Author's note. Heh, that rhymes. Sorry, continuing. Nothing really happened yet that I'll remember forever. Suddenly, the violet cat felt a hand reach behind her head and pull her into a kiss. Her eyes widened in surprise when their lips locked, but slowly they closed, enjoying the moment. When their lips parted, Silver smiled, his hand still on the back of Blaze's head. What about now? The cat smiled. I guess I can give you that one. Silver smiled in return, but it soon faded when he realized how dark it was. He looked up at the sky and saw the many stars twinkling happily above them. Silver, look! Blaze whispered for the second time that day. The gray hedgehog looked back down. All the Chow in the garden had gathered around them. What are they doing? He asked. His question was answered when the little Chow opened their mouth and began singing a quiet lullaby. Their song filled the air. They seemed to warm Silver and Blaze's hearts. If you were there, you would have felt like someone lit a gentle fire in your soul and spread it from the inside out. Blaze smiled and rested her head on Silver's shoulder. Now I will truly remember this day. The gray hedgehog found himself blushing slightly. I guess I do love Blaze more than a friend, he thought. A smile spread on his face as he wrapped an arm around her. Silence lasted between them. The only thing you could hear were the Chow singing. Finally, Blaze said, Silver? What? Thank you for everything. Silver looked down, but then returned his gaze to the purple cat beside him. You're welcome. Blaze closed her eyes, as a familiar sound came from her closed mouth, a purr. Silver smiled and looked up to the night sky again. The stars seemed to dance to the slow and sweet rhythm Chow's song. He then looked down at the cat leaning on him, and noticed she had fallen asleep. Gently, he whispered, Happy Valentine's Day. With that, Silver picked her up in his arms, and walked out of the circle singing Chow. He walked out of the Chow Garden and into the city, taking with him precious memories that would last forever. The end. And thus concludes another special holiday episode. I wish you all good night. Remember,
There is much drama on the internet, but only the best makes pretentious internet theater. The pleasure is all yours.